last century in the heart of Hardin County, a Swedish immigrant by way of Chicago had to go, had to go, had to go.
Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Trapper Shep has come a long way since the release of his last album, both figuratively and literally. Shep was finishing off a stint as a production assistant at Lake Effect when his last CD hit the stands.
4 years later, his new album Rangers and Valentines is out today. And in the intervening time, Shep has been living the life of a full-time musician, racking up miles as he's headlined shows and played in support of acts like the Jayhawks and the Old 97s.
Most recently, he's just back from his first European tour, just in time to play an album release show tonight at Anodyne Coffee's Performance Hall in Walker's Point. But before that, Trapper returned to the Lake Effect Bungalow for a conversation with Mitch Tyke and to play a few songs from the new album, including this one called The Ballad of Olaf Johnson.
In fright, no candle flame could keep him warm, but he had shelter from the storm. And after 7 long days, yeah, thought about leaving, but he might as well stay. He couldn't feel with his fingertips. He couldn't lick his dried out lips. Dreamt about gardens and glasses of beer. Yeah, he'd wake up screaming, but no one could hear. The wind went all night. He'd cry in fright. He spent 2 months hunkered down, like some fox had been chased by a hound. He came up and didn't make a sound. And he ran, and he never was found. The wind went all night.
Ballad of Olaf Johnson, Trapper Shep in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Welcome back to Lake Effect.
Hello again. It's
nice
good to be
to see
here.
You. Nice to see you. And tell us who you have with you today.
We have Dr. Dustin Thomas over here on the piano and the logistics and everything else. We have Tanner Shep, my brother. Say hi.
Hey.
Jumping Justin Kroll over there on the drum set. Quinn Sharber on the guitar.
Outstanding. And this is off of the brand new release.
The brand new release, Rangers and Valentines.
This is, not just any story song. This is the Ballad of Olaf Johnson, and it is a personal story song for you.
The Ballad of Olaf Johnson,
the only one
in existence, to my knowledge. But yeah, Olaf was he was a gardener to the king of Sweden. And I don't know why he gave up that gig and came to America, but I guess he read of free land in the Swedish newspapers. Came to America, and his brother was already there scouting out some land out west. But he didn't plan very well because he was traveling through the Dakotas, and a terrible blizzard hit, and he was forced to flip his wagon over, dig a hole into the earth, and he created this dugout shelter that he lived in for the whole winter with his wife, Olivia.
Who must have wondered what in the world she had gotten into.
Yeah, if that's not love, I don't know what is.
The Homestead Act.
It's the Homestead Act. But so the whole album touches upon that. It's people who are on the move and in love, Rangers and Valentines.
Let me ask you then, when you think of the stories of your now three albums, are there defining elements to this one that when you think 10 years from now, when you think of Rangers and Valentines, you'll say, this is the story of this album?
This is the story of that time. Yeah, that time period for sure. It brings together so many of the different influences and things I've been picking up along the way, you know, stories, lines, phrases. So it took 25 years to get this thing together, but yeah, I'm pretty happy with the way it's come to be. And people say, oh, you know, it took you 4 years between this one and the last one. It's like, in my head, it's like, well, it took me about 25 years to get a record to the point in which I'm really happy with it, because it just brings together so many of these stories and sounds in my head that it finally makes sense.
As we're having this conversation, you are not long back from Europe and a tour you did over there in how many countries?
I think 9 countries.
And this is also something you had not done before, right?
Yeah. It was a whirlwind. My buddy Jesse Malin from New York invited me to tag along and jump in the bus for that tour. But there were a few roadblocks along the way.
Well, and so, yeah, talk about those. What first of all, what did you get from that, and what made it a complicated trip for you?
Well, the first 9 or so shows were in the UK, and they were a breeze. But we crossed the channel into the mainland, and we had a day off in a small Belgium town. And I went out to get some groceries, and it's this town of 3,000 people where everybody's looking at me like I'm from outer space. And I'm walking around, I go in this grocery store, and the woman, she looks fairly alarmed by my presence. I don't know, the jean jacket, maybe the denim outfit or something threw her off. But it was striking for her to see someone that she had never seen before in this very quaint small town. And she got the butcher from the back, who came out, crossed his arms. Before you know it, I'm walking around town, get back to the bus, and the bus driver says, "Trapper, the cops are after the boy in the red hat." And I am that boy in the
is
red
hat. Is that the red hat that is sitting next
yes,
to you right now?
Is right under the chair here in the performance studio. Yeah, it says Milwaukee on it, actually. But it was a good check moment, kind of you're a long way from home grounding moment. And the rest of the tour, I mean, it was great. The shows were all really good, but there were a couple of those moments on the tour, especially with the tensions happening right now in Europe with the refugee crisis.
Do you feel you stood out as an American, or you just stood out as an outsider?
I think an outsider, and fittingly enough, the album that Jesse Malin was supporting was called Outsiders. So it was an interesting time to be an American in Europe right now. Especially everyone's asking you about Donald Trump as if you're some kind of authoritative source on Trump.
And did you have answers for them?
No, but you know, from the get-go meeting some people, you'd kind of say, I want to be here because of what's happening back there. So if you kind of got that out of the way from the get-go, people were warm with you.
Was they, when when you do a gig, and you were there supporting, you were there in support, so you probably didn't have to work on these logistics that much. But is there a difference between doing a gig in a place like Belgium or Italy or something like that, and doing a gig in the U.S.? I mean, are there different traditions in the way how things come together?
I would say this. In the U.S., I think when someone shows up at a concert, it's more of a, what can this band do for me? You know, you have your phone out, you're tweeting, you're checking in, you're Instagramming. You know, what can this band on stage do for me? And my experience, at least, was it was a more communal experience. It was like, what can we do together, you know, as the performer on stage and the audience? And it was really cool to try to build something new every night with an audience. And I just went over there with my acoustic guitar, and I have all these stories and whatever else I'm trying to tell and communicate. And sometimes some things get lost in translation, of course, but that just made it all the more fun. And
do you feel like the crowd is more present when in this communal experience you're describing?
Yeah, again, it's hard to make big, sweeping statements, but I mean, everything over there, they haven't paved paradise and put up a parking lot all over the place. You know, there's this deeply rooted respect for the arts, architecture, culture that we don't have quite as much of, I think, in America.
So you have another song you're going to play for us from the new album. Tell us a little bit about it before you play it.
Yeah, this one, these guys have heard this a million times, but it's a couple winters ago, we were coming home from California back to Milwaukee at the end of a tour, and this terrible blizzard hit, and the semi in front of us jackknifed, and we took the first exit for a town called Ogallala. And I don't know if you've ever...
This is Nebraska.
Yeah, passed through those parts. But it's pretty barren area of America. And so we took this exit. I was feeling pretty sick. I had some NyQuil in my bag. The new Hobbit movie was on. That was my entertainment for the night, trying to get through, you know, whatever gets you through the night. And made it through that first night, and the next day, this song, Ogallala, had popped into my head. So we'll play that.
It is fortunate that you stopped in a place with such a musical name and not like North Platte.
Yeah, that would be tough.
In the headlights, a semi jackknifed. I felt all right when they shut down I-80. Pulled over to the shoulder, took a winterlude. In a snowed-in mood, I saw a movie, an unexpected journey. I felt like Martin Freeman when he was first leaving. I'm waiting for the road to thaw, waiting for the road to thaw in a town called Ogallala. Sugar on the black ice, it felt like yesterday. Oh wait, it was, I was under the LA sun. Wish I'd got to Omaha, wish I'd got to Omaha. Not Ogallala, Ogallala, wish I'd got to Omaha. Not Ogallala, 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 la 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 la.
wish I'd got to Omaha.
Ogallala, Trapper Shep, and Band in Studio C1.
Yeah, we added a la to that, the Ogallala. I hope the good people of Ogallala are cool with that.
So, Trapper, do you think when, I mean, do you feel like when things go wrong, you get stranded somewhere, you get mono a second time, something else bad happens, is there consolation in being able to write a song about it?
Yeah, there was a point in my college experience where my buddy Graham Hunt and I were always trying to get into trouble on the weekends or something, and it became this thing where it was like, what can we do to put in a song at some other point? You know, I don't even know how much it was about doing that certain thing. It was more about, you know, what can we get? We need some material for our songs. And, you know, the good stuff tends to not even find its way into the songs. It's the stuff lying on the outer edges of that, not to be abstract or anything. But, yeah, I mean, you know, whenever something bad happens, the silver lining is that song that might become of it.
So a few months ago, you're watching the Packers playoff game, and they're going to a commercial timeout. And just before the break, a familiar song comes on.
Yeah.
What is your reaction?
I tweeted this, I think. Yeah. Was that the Vikings game or the Pack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually I know this is Milwaukee radio. I shouldn't be broadcasting this, but I'm actually a Vikings fan. Yeah. It's tough to even say that. But yeah, I'm a Vikings fan, so I was definitely tuned into that game, and my phone just lit up like 20 different people had called or texted me.
This is a song of yours. We sort of talked around it without
Yeah, one of my songs appeared as the bumper music in the commercial break, and now it's like, oddly enough, I have this new album out, and all everyone wants to talk about is how one of our songs is on the NFL or whatever. But it's funny for sure.
And you had no idea it was going to happen.
No, and I'm still searching for my cold deck check, we call it. I just saw
mailbox money.
Yeah, I called my or just saw my publishing guy down at South by Southwest, and I was like, how do I figure that one out? And he's like, you might never get that.
Well, and the worst part is there's like nothing on that said who it was, so really it was a nice inside moment for you and the fans.
Yeah, I think there's probably some rule, too, where, you know, if the song doesn't play for more than 7 seconds.
It's called fair use doctrine.
Yeah, something like that.
We may know a little something about that at Lake Effect.
Yeah, the little guy always loses.
Are there things at this point? This is album number 3, as we've said, and things.
Who's
have,
counting?
And gosh, I remember when album number 1 came out, and you walked into the Lake Effect bungalow and handed out copies. But at this point, are there things that you feel like you're really still learning about this business?
Oh, yeah, sigh. Yeah, every day it seems to be changing, and what used to work doesn't work anymore, which is a easy way to put it. I mean,
guitars still work, though.
Guitars still work, but they don't have that same effect that they once had on people. You know, the guitar, bass, drums band, you know, this unit, actually, we were on tour last year, and all the sound guys, you know, on this tour, small clubs, they're like, so do you guys have tracks, or like, what do you mean? And they're like, do you have tracks that you plug in and play to?
We got a song called Tracks.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, even in just the last few years, and I'm a young guy at this, but as these guys can attest to, it's getting pretty weird.
Well, and at a certain point, you have to decide whether you're gonna follow the trends or whether you're gonna do your own thing.
Yeah, that doesn't keep me up at night. If I'm gonna do this, I can do it how I want to do it.
But as you say, you're pretty happy with the result on this one.
I am. Yeah, I can breathe and take a deep breath and. Not that I listen to my own music, but when we just got these test pressings back of the album a few months ago. I put the record on, and it's just it took a while, but it's definitely worth it when you fulfill that that kind of vision that you set out.
It has to be kind of a big leap. I mean, you know, I don't know if leap is the right word, but you know, when the test pressing shows up, and you've had this thought in your mind of what it's going to sound like, and this is what it actually does sound like.
Mm-hmm.
That moment when you put it in the CD player or the turntable or whatever has to be a little apprehensive.
Yeah, the other apprehensive, scary moment is when you get 1,000 boxes of CDs on your porch, and you're like, does anyone buy these things anymore?
That's what the merch table is for, right?
Yeah. No, we do all right for ourselves.
Well, you have definitely done all right for yourselves with this album. It's outstanding. And Trapper and everyone else, thank you so much. Much appreciated. What are you going to play us out with?
This is Talking Girlfriend Blues.
Lydia looked like a pretty nice girl, and I thought that would give it a whirl. Sat down by her at the orientation, said she was studying public relations, putting a spin on things for politicians, athletes, adult stuff.
Trapper Shep with Talkin' Girlfriend Blues from his new CD, Rangers and Valentines. The album is just out today, and Trapper and the band will play tonight at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. They're on a bill with Jesse Malin. Trapper Shep talked with Mitch Tyke, and our interview was engineered by John Strelecki.
Last few letters say how it's been. Oh, Jesse was an only child, and I got the feeling after a while she'd been seeing somebody else. Pretty soon be back by myself, eating cereal, watching cartoons, kid stuff. Well, and so I started an investigation, and from the extent of my estimations, found she was seeing my brother's girlfriend. Said we could try to make amends, make it work. Girlfriend, girlfriend, it hardly starts before it ends. Girlfriend, girlfriend, last few letters say how it's been. Well, I was hitching a ride across town. A guy my age said he'd bring me around. Told him I was meeting this girl that made her. She's got blonde hair and listens to Slayer. Alternative, he said. Said she sounds like a girl that I once loved, but I'm sure it's not the one you're speaking of. When I told him her name was Annalise, he put on the brakes like he'd seen the police. He was real mad. It was scary. Girlfriend, girlfriend, it hardly starts before it ends. Girlfriend, girlfriend, last few letters say how it's been. Well, I know there's already a million songs about how guys and girls can't get along. I've been seeing a girl I won't name, and I sure hope it don't end up the same. But she said she might study abroad and be independent. Me too!